WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Five people have died, two others hurt in yesterday's mass shooting in Philadelphia. Mayor Jim Kenney calling on lawmakers to do more.
We are begging Congress to protect lives and do something about America's gun problem.
Police say the suspect was armed with an AR-type rifle. At least three people have died, eight others hurt in a Fort Worth, Texas shooting. In Illinois, a remembrance ceremony marking a year since the Highland Park July 4th parade mass shooting that killed seven people there. President Biden using a speech before the National Education Association today to talk about the need for gun reform to keep schools safe.
Arming teachers is not the answer. Arming teachers is not the answer. Banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, extensive background checks, they're part of the answer.
President now holding a barbecue for active duty and National Guard military families on the White House South Lawn. This is ABC News. In Russia, the Kremlin says it's open to holding prisoner exchange talks for Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, but stressed they have to be confidential. Gershkovich has been detained since March on spy charges. A warning from a shark attack survivor to take shark sighting notices on the Florida Gulf Coast seriously.
In June of 2000, Chuck Anderson was training for a triathlon in Gulf Shores, Alabama, when a shark attacked him four times, taking off his fingers, biting his torso, and finally,
the fourth time actually ripping my arm off.
But Anderson says the shark that attacked him was simply being a shark. And when he sees video of the most recent encounter off the Florida coast, he's reminded of that day back in 2000 when he was attacked.
I've lived 23 years longer than I should have.
Nobody was hurt in the most recent incident. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Massachusetts woman missing for a week has been found alive in a swampy area of a state park south of Boston where hikers heard her cries for help. Andy Field, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. The fight over Wisconsin's top elections official could have implications for the 2024 presidential election in a battleground state. Legal questions over Megan Wolf's reappointment could take months to resolve, and the election is just 16 months away. If Wolf's position as administrator is still disputed next year, it could become the basis for lawsuits and challenges to the guidance she gives to local clerks. Wisconsin is one of a handful of states that are expected to decide next year's presidential contest. Senator Tammy Baldwin is criticizing two Supreme Court decisions last week. She's talking off the court's ruling on affirmative action in college admissions and a case that allows discrimination against people based on sexual orientation. Baldwin says both rulings are matters of fairness and freedom. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy, I'm awake. With no Broma seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Men are not a new sensation. I've done pretty well.
Civic Media Radio Network. But don't forget. You can always download our app, listen crystal clear, and with just one touch, call or text the show. But you can do it the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. Yes, we're going to be talking about the fact that it's going to be the 4th of July weekend here, which I think is only apt from a timing perspective. So, happy 4th of July to everyone, and a little programming note. As you have come to know, I don't have shows on Friday. You will hear a repeat. And I am taking Monday and Tuesday off. So I will be back with you all next Wednesday. So please have a safe, happy, and healthy 4th of July. So here we are coming up on this holiday where we celebrate our nation's independence. By the way, it's kind of an arbitrary date. I mean, that's... history is an interesting beast, isn't it? And that is the point of the show today. That history is a matter of perspective. And that conservatives have been peddling this cynical conceit of constitutionalism or the tautology of strict textualism for far too long. And these two decisions this year, the Dobbs decision about a woman's right to control her body, and the affirmative action decision that dropped today, both reflect two of the most perverse views of history that the Supreme Court has ever adopted. It takes, respectively, not just a myopic view of history in the Dobbs decision, but a self-perpetuating one, one that ties our future to only what our past was. And in the affirmative action decision today, belies history, denies its reality, denies that history matters as we stand here today. These two perversions of history dressed up in each instance in very fancy language about the Constitution should be deeply disturbing to each one of us as we approach this celebration of our nation's independence, because that celebration can only be a celebration if we are engaged in a maturation of this democracy, a movement forward with an idea that equality won't just be conceptual, that we will commit to its realization, that freedom of choice in our most intimate senses of ourselves will be respected. In my opinion, the Supreme Court of the United States, as dominated by a 6-seat conservative majority, has zero legitimacy. It deserves not an ounce of deference, because those that occupy those 6 seats engage in this perversion of history every time they issue a decision. When one places yourself in a seat of arbiter, you take on a certain responsibility. And we can talk about their ethical lapses, of which there are many now very well documented. And those are problematic enough. But I would suggest to you that what we are seeing in these two decisions from this court is much, much more dangerous than individual justices succumbing to the bribery of the oligarchy that we have created in these United States, to the influence peddling of the wealthy, the technocratic excusing of such craven behavior. These two decisions, Dobbs first, myopic and tautological, guaranteeing that our future is only our past and dooming us to repeat it, and the decision today on affirmative action, a fulsome denial that we stand here today in a position that is the product of our history. I don't know how any of those folks at their root don't have some kind of cognitive dissonance. It just makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. The fallacy of the logic and the denial of the reality, respectively, in each of those decisions blows my mind. So let me start. And I feel like I have to start with Dobbs, because it is this first indicator that the lengths to which these justices will be pretzeled to engage in mythical culture wars, when our common shared democratic experiment in equality suffers because we are being led down this primrose path of hypocritical notions of fairness, where up is down, left is right, where parental freedoms are important in one area but not another, where a cake maker doesn't have to make a cake, but a woman has to make a baby, and where to pursue equality, to undo generations of oppression and racism, the answer is to not address race. And by doing so, by not addressing race, what does that do? What is the effect of that? The effect of that is to preference the status quo ante, the way things existed before, the white way that things existed before. That is what the denial of the reality of history showing up in today means. And that works plenty well for you, legacy admission, Brett Kavanaugh. Shame, sir. So I struggled all day with how to even start talking about these things, because the threat is so real. The veneer that judges are able to apply to themselves, the thin veneer of intellectualism and theoretical consistency in words like textualism and constitutionalism, all they are, everyone, with all the pages and pages of fancy words and turns of phrases, all it is in each of these decisions, all it is the thing that inexorably leads us to only be what we once were. Not the best ideals that we are still trying to become, but condemning us to a version of democracy in our culture where only one group of people had any power. And they certainly didn't look like me. They weren't the middle class. They weren't black and brown folks. They weren't LGBT. They are returning us to a version of the world by preferencing the status quo ante and preferencing the way the world was back in 1776 so that it privileges white men. Because when we can't talk about race, when we can't talk about the way that a woman's life is impacted when her right to control whether or not she will have a child is impaired, if we can't talk about reality, then what is the law? I don't mean to be that existential about it, but if the law has now become so divorced from reality where justices can say, well, this isn't about gender, this isn't an equal protection issue, this isn't discriminating. It sure is, because women are the only people that can have kids. And then today to say, well, we just won't worry ourselves with the realities of the disparate outcomes we see in nearly every measure of the quality and wellness in our lives, disparate outcomes because of years of governmental racist policies. The government, the institutions of power in this country treated white and black people differently. How do you make an argument today that we're not going to see differences in outcomes for white and black people when our country, our justice system, the very court that now deigns to say that we achieve equality by ignoring race, that was the very institution that perpetuated these systems of oppression. And while the decision today takes pains to disavow those stains on our history, it does nothing to redress them or even accept the reality that they matter today. The insult isn't to say that race matters in our country. The insult, my friends, is to deny it. Because to deny it flies in the face of the lived, breathed, and everyday lived experiences of black and brown folks, of women, of anyone who wasn't one of the ones who benefited from all of those institutions and structures. I'm not going to read anything today from Justice Roberts' drivel in the majority opinion. The only thing I'm going to be reading from today is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent. And her dissent doesn't actually get into the actual legal arguments. Her dissent is only about why it matters. It is 30 pages that I hope every student in this country reads. It is 30 pages that every voter needs to read. To every white person that says that they don't see color and that colorblind is the point, they need to read those 30 pages. Because she mic dropped everyone, she has put our country and her fellow justices on blast. Because they have the audacity to suggest that history doesn't have an impact on where we all stand today. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. 844-967-2789. You got a question? I probably have an answer for it today. Give us a call. We'll be here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That cling to him, bewitched, bothered and bewildered, am I?
When he talks.
The
Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 60. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High of 73. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows around 49. High of 73 Thursday under mainly clear skies. 78 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 78.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. 92.7 WMDX.
Acting different, yeah. Funny how I finally flipped the script on ya. When you the one who's double dipping, yeah. You so sloppy how I caught you slipping, You're off the lease. Run me my keys. No more popping up the hitty, yeah. I ain't even got the miles to trip on ya. No phone.
Who is this? Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. It is a Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show on a pretty dark day for us here in America. If we want to actually live with our feet firmly planted here in reality. Before we went to break, what I was trying to explain was that there's a through line between the Dobbs decision that took a woman's right to control her body away from her and the Students for Fair Admissions Harvard and North Carolina case decision that came down today. It's not just that both of these cases deal with groups of people who didn't have rights in this country when this country began. It's not just that, but boy, does that tell us a lot about the story. It's not just about that. It's about what that means historically and how each of these decisions in their own perverse way want to ignore that history and ignore why that history matters today. I will read briefly. This is from the Dobbs decision. We hold that Roe must be overruled. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That provision has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any such right must be, quote, deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition and implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, end quote. This means that the rights of the historically oppressed will be determined and set by the rights of their oppressors. It means that my rights today must somehow have been central to the Constitution then, when my citizenship my right to participate in the democracy wasn't even acknowledged then. It defines rights today based on what we wanted to say our rights were two centuries ago. Does that make any sense? I told you I wasn't going to read from his decision, but I have to, because the parallels here are so sickeningly clear when it's distilled down to its basest. From today's decision, the dissenters would instead uphold the university's admissions programs based on their view that the 14th Amendment, it's the equal protection one, permits state actors to remedy the effects of societal discrimination through explicitly race-based measures. Yeah. That would seem to me to be the point now, wouldn't it? Although both opinions are thorough and thoughtful in many respects, this court has long rejected their core thesis. The dissent's interpretation of the Equal Protection Clause is not new. In Bakke, that was the case that originated and said that you could have affirmative action. In Bakke, four justices would have permitted race-based admissions programs to remedy the effects of societal discrimination. But that minority view is just that, a minority view. Justice Powell, who provided the fifth vote in controlling opinion in Bakke, firmly rejected the notion that societal discrimination constituted a compelling government interest, calling such an amorphous concept of injury that may be ageless in its reach into the past and justify an impermissible racial classification that imposes disadvantages upon persons who bear no responsibility for whatever harm the beneficiaries of the race-based admissions programs are thought to have suffered. In other words, we don't care that folks ain't on equal footing here because we created a legal and constitutional system of oppression that still has not been completely justified because we created a fiction of equal under the law, but not until, 50 years ago. That's all I'm going to read from it because I think it's pretty clear. To torture the Constitution into these things that sort of go against our common sense, right? You have to be in the business of denying history. There's no other way to do it. By the way, speaking of Dobbs, yesterday, all 22 Wisconsin senators, state senators, declined to restore the right to control our bodies to women. All 22 of them, not a single one, all voted to keep the state's 1849 abortion ban in place. Hey, you know when women got the right to vote? Yeah, not then. Not in 1849, not in 1850s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, not in 1900, not in 1910. That was like 1919 was when Wyoming did it. Yeah. All 22 of them. So what do I want to share with you today? I want to share with you today some of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's words, because I think they will inspire us. And I am going to leave us on a positive note, because aside from the depressing Supreme Court, there have been some incredibly promising decisions coming out of federal lower courts. And I want to share those with you. Stay tuned. If you want to win some Brewers tickets, keep it locked in. We're going to do that in the last block of the day. 844-967-2789. Get your calls queued up if you want them tickets. The tickets are for July 4th, 7:10 game against our I-94 rivals, those dastardly Chicago Cubs. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Lock it in, everybody. So don't forget to come and pick up the
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden and the First Lady celebrating Independence Day at the White House with a barbecue for active duty military.
Throughout our history, remind us that democracy is never, never, never guaranteed. Every generation must fight to maintain it. We must always cherish it, defend it, and strengthen it.
President expected to deliver remarks before tonight's fireworks. Mass shooting in Philadelphia overnight leaves 5 dead, 2 others hurt. Mayor Jim Kenney.
I was today at City at the Independence Hall, where they wrote that Constitution and the Second Amendment was never intended to protect this.
Police say the shooter had an AR-style rifle, body armor, and a ski mask. They've arrested a suspect. Hundreds gathering in Highland Park, Illinois for a remembrance ceremony for the 7 people killed in last July 4th parade mass shooting. Russia saying it foiled a Ukrainian drone attack on Moscow. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is criticizing 2 Supreme Court decisions last week. She's talking about the court's ruling on affirmative action in college admissions and a case that allows discrimination against people based on sexual orientation. Baldwin says both rulings are matters of fairness and freedom. She says she's worried about the broader implications of the court's decisions in the future. 8 people are doing better today after getting stuck hanging upside down on a roller coaster for about 3 hours in Crandon Sunday. Nobody was hurt, but one person did go to the hospital. It happened on the last day of the Forest County Festival. Channel 7 in Wausau reports 7 of the stuck passengers were kids. Inspectors were still looking into the cause of the mechanical breakdown last we checked. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. Help them out. Slow down, stay focused, and eliminate distractions. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
At Ula Eyewear, Hildale.
I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. If you'd like to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. But I need to jump right in and share with you some of what Justice Jackson had to say today. Gulf-sized race-based gaps exist with respect to health, wealth, and well-being of American citizens. They were created in the distant past, but have indisputably been passed down to the present day through generations. Every moment these gaps persist is a moment in which this great country falls short of actualizing one of its foundational principles, the self-evident truth that all of us are created equal. Yet today, this court determines that holistic admissions programs are a problem with respect to achievement of that aspiration rather than a viable solution, as has long been evident to historians, sociologists, and policymakers alike. I write to separately expound upon the universal benefits of considering race in this context in response to a suggestion that has permeated this legal action from the start. Students for Fair Admissions has maintained, both subtly and overtly, that it is unfair for a college's admissions process to consider race as one factor in a holistic review of its applicants. But this contention blinks both history and reality in ways too numerous to count. The response is simple. Our country has never been colorblind. Given the lengthy history of state-sponsored, race-based preferences in America, to say that anyone now is victimized if a college considers whether that legacy of discrimination has unequally advantaged its applicants fails to acknowledge the well-documented intergenerational transmission of inequality that still plagues our citizenry. It is that inequality that admissions programs such as UNC's and Harvard's help to address to the benefit of us all. Because the majority's judgment stunts that progress without any basis in law, history, logic, or justice, I dissent. She then turns and spends pages recounting really important baseline concepts of American history that I would like to suggest probably aren't being taught in some states now because they're run like people like Ron DeSantis. Because it might be critical race theory to understand our history, including its most ugly and vile parts. She begins, many chapters of America's history appear necessary, given the opinions that my colleagues in the majority have issued in this case. She basically just called them a bunch of idiots. That's what that means. Mark, I will get to you in just one sec. She continued, Justice Thurgood Marshall recounted the genesis. Quote, 350 years ago, the Negro was dragged to this country in chains to be sold into slavery, uprooted from his homeland and thrust into bondage for forced labor. The slave was deprived of all legal rights. It was unlawful to teach him to read. He could be sold away from his family and friends at the whim of his master, and killing or maiming him was not a crime. The system of slavery brutalized and dehumanized both master and slave. Slavery should have been and was to many self-evidently dissonant with our avowed founding principles. When the time came to resolve that dissonance, 11 states chose slavery. With the Union's survival at stake, Frederick Douglass noted Black Americans in the South were almost the only reliable friends the nation had. And but for their help, the rebels might have succeeded in breaking up the Union. After the war, Senator John Sherman defended the proposed 14th Amendment in a manner that encapsulated our Reconstruction framers' highest sentiments. Quote, we are bound by every obligation, by Black Americans' service on the battlefield, by their heroes who are buried in our cause, by their patriotism. In the hours that tried our country, we are bound to protect them and all their natural rights To uphold that promise, the framers repudiated this Supreme Court's holding in Dred Scott by crafting Reconstruction Amendments and associated legislation that transformed our Constitution and society. Even after the second founding, when the need to right historical wrongs should have been clear beyond cavil, opponents insisted that vindicating equality in this manner slighted white Americans. So when the Reconstruction Congress passed a bill to secure all citizens the same civil rights as enjoyed by white citizens, President Andrew Johnson vetoed it because it, quote, discriminated in favor of the Negro, end quote. That attitude in the nation's associated retreat from Reconstruction made prophecy out of Congressman Thaddeus Stevens' fear that, quote, those states will all keep up middle class, all keep up this discrimination and crush to death the hated freedmen. And this court facilitated that retrenchment. She goes on, not just in Plessy versus Ferguson, but in almost every instant, this Supreme Court chose to restrict the scope of the Second Founding, thus 13 years pre-Plessy. In the civil rights cases in 1883, our predecessors on this court invalidated Congress's attempt to enforce the Reconstruction Amendments via the Civil Rights Act, lecturing that, quote, there must be some stage when Black Americans take the rank of mere citizen and cease to be a special favorite of the laws, end quote. Justice Harlan Newbetter, he responded, what the nation through Congress has sought to accomplish in reference to Black people is what had already been done in every state of the Union for the white race, to secure and protect rights belonging to them as freemen and citizens, nothing more. She goes on and on and on. She talks about redlining. She talks about the benefits given veterans, about locking Black Americans who worked mostly in housekeeping and nanny roles out of any of the New Deal, how sharecropping and Jim Crow worked. She goes through all of it. And it's not all of it. It would take libraries to write all of it. She concludes and says this. The upshot of all of this is that due to government policy choices, in the suburban shaping years between 1930 and 1960, fewer than 1% of all mortgages in the nation were issued to African Americans. Thus, based on their race, Black people were locked out of the greatest mass-based opportunity for wealth accumulation in American history. For present purposes, it is significant that in so excluding Black people, government policies affirmatively operated, one could say affirmatively acted, to dole out preferences to those who, if nothing else, were not Black. Those past preferences carried forward and are reinforced today by the benefits that flow to homeowners and the holders of other forms of capital that are hard to obtain unless one already has assets. The discussion of how the existing gaps were formed is merely illustrative, not exhaustive. I will pass over Congress's repeated crafting of family, worker, retiree protective legislation to channel benefits exclusively to white people, thereby excluding Black Americans from what was otherwise a revolution in the status of most working Americans. This is the point. Preferencing whom? Compared to what? The status quo ante is that does preference the white over the Black folks. This is what she's saying. So in the breath that you espouse equality by denying the importance of race today, you serve to further entrench the inequality. You set our nation's experiment back. That is why I began by making clear that what these decisions do is doom us to a future that is limited by our past. Have we learned nothing? The point is this. Given our history, the origin of persistent race-linked gaps should be no mystery. It has never been a deficiency of Black Americans' desire or ability to, in Frederick Douglass's words, stand on their own legs. Rather, it was always simply what Justice Harlan recognized 140 years ago, the persistent and pernicious denial of what had already been done in every state of the Union for the white race. History speaks. In some form, it can be heard forever. The race-based gaps that first developed centuries ago are echoes from the past that still exist today. And by all accounts, they are stark. Justice Jackson then confronts this pervasive, sticky American mythology of meritocracy as if those who have succeeded succeed entirely on their own merits, as if whiteness isn't a privilege that confers benefits every day. To demand that colleges ignore race in today's admissions practices and thus disregard the fact that racial disparities may have mattered for where some applicants find themselves today is not only an affront to the dignity of those students for whom race matters, it also condemns our society to never escape the past that explains how and why race matters to the very concept of who merits admission. Permitting, not requiring, colleges like Harvard and UNC to assess merit fully without blinders on plainly advances, not thwarts, the 14th Amendment's core promise. UNC considers race as one of many factors in order to best assess the entire unique import of candidates' individual lives and inheritances on an equal basis. Doing so involves acknowledging, not ignoring, the 7 generations worth of historical privileges and disadvantages that otherwise similar candidates were born with. I mean, it's plainly worded too. Just comparing, reading the way that the majority opinion is worded versus what Justice Jackson is saying is revelatory in itself. What she says tracks human experience. Even if you don't like where it leads us, it tracks human experience. Every trial lawyer says to a jury, because we're the jury here, we're the ones judging the legitimacy of these decisions. Every trial lawyer will say to a jury, use your common sense, use your intuition, use your experience to inform your judgment here. My client's story will make sense to you. It will comport with your reality. What Justice Jackson is saying comports with reality. Just a little bit more before we go to break. If you'd like to get your hands on those tickets, you just hang on through this break and we will give you a shot to weigh in here. Yeah. The majority seems to think that race blindness solves the problem of race-based disadvantage. But the irony is that requiring colleges to ignore the initial race-linked opportunity gap between applicants will inevitably widen that gap, not narrow it. It will delay the day that every American has an equal opportunity to thrive, regardless of race.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 60. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 73. Lows around 49 tomorrow night. Mainly sunny Thursday with highs around 73. 78 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 78.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Civic Media Network News.
On Mad Radio. 92.7 WMDX.
I guess for now, you've got the last laugh.
I'm sorry if I seem uninterested. No, I'm not listening. No, I'm indifferent. Truly, I ain't got no business here. But since my friends are here, I just came to kick it. But really, I would rather be at home all by myself, not in this room with
Welcome
people
back.
Who don't even care about my.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I just wanted to give you her last sort of crack at it, and then we'll take some of the callers. If I don't get to the great decisions that are coming out of our lower federal courts when it comes to observing and protecting our rights to be our essential selves, I'll talk about them after the fourth break. So here it is. With let them eat cake obliviousness, today the majority pulls the ripcord and announces colorblindness for all by legal fiat. By deeming race irrelevant in law, does not make it so in life. Having so detached itself from this country's actual past and present experiences, the court has now been lured into interfering with the crucial work that UNC, Harvard, and other institutions of higher learning are doing to solve America's real-world problems. No one benefits from ignorance. Although formal race-linked legal barriers are gone, race still matters to the lived experiences of all Americans in innumerable ways. And today's ruling makes things worse, not better. The best that can be said of the majority's perspective is that it proceeds ostrich-like from the hope that preventing consideration of race will end racism. But if that is its motivation, the majority proceeds in vain. If the colleges of this country are required to ignore a thing that matters, it will not just go away. It will take longer for racism to leave us. And ultimately, ignoring race just makes it matter more. We can do better, and we should do better. I was really very, very moved by what she had to say in this opinion, because I think it is a really, really accessible 30 pages of very plainly written, yet eloquent, masterclass in what equity really is and what we need to be acknowledging what she presents are facts. And it's interesting that in the majority opinion and all the concurrences, no one takes her up and tries to argue with her about any of those facts. So I say to you, jurors, put your voice behind the story that makes sense to you in your lived experience. And oh, might I say, it is the one that is rooted in deep respect for the individual and that helps lift up the reality that we all matter. If that's your jam, if that's what you like to say. I like to say, we all won't matter until Black Lives Matter. So with that, we'll go to the phones. Is anybody on the line, my friend E?
Sure thing.
Who we got?
First up, we got Rico from Rock County.
What's up, Rico, my man? Did a little birdie tell me you want to go to the Brewers game with three of your friends and some really sweet tickets on July 4th? Was that you, my friend Rico?
Oh, me and it be me. But I have so much more to say.
Oh, no. You can say whatever you'd like, but you get the tickets, my brother. Evan will get your exact
Thank
info
you.
And tell you
Thank
how to get
you,
those
Maggie.
When we get done.
Thank you, Maggie. But I
you
still
bet, man.
Got to profess loyalty to the Devils. I still got to profess my loyalty to the Devils or I get in trouble, you know. Anyway,
well, now you don't get the tickets.
You know,
don't give them the tickets anymore.
I can't win. A white guy, he didn't catch a break on this show, you know?
Yeah, it's a real bummer right?
Yeah, you know, hey, I just wanted to say, guys, out there in the listening world, with these latest decisions, you know, these black folks say they just got to work hard and they got to work. Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps, man. Do your own thing. I implore all of you. And if you don't want to listen to me, listen to Tom Hanks. Just take a little moment of your life and go watch any good documentary on Tulsa. They did try that. And you can see the results then. Just judge for yourselves. That's all I got to say. Love everything you do, Maggie.
Thanks much, man. Enjoy those tickets. Evan,
thanks for the tickets. My grandson thanks you.
That's awesome. I'm so glad. Glad to hear that. Anybody else on the line still?
Yeah, we've got Mark from the SAC.
Hey, Mark, what's up? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. And I couldn't help but remember that something I saw on reading Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention from Gouverneur Morris, who more or less condemned slavery back at the Constitutional Convention, actually said that the inhabitants of Georgia and South Carolina who go through the coast of Africa and in defiance of the most sacred laws of humanity tears away his fellow creatures from their dearest connections and damns them to the most cruel of bondages. I mean, even at the Constitutional Convention, there was men here in America who knew that slavery was an evil and the prejudice was evil. And for men today, and one woman, I guess, to say that they think that, there's no more racism in this country, no longer exists. And if there is, the government has no business in doing anything about it because... Well, I say BS on that because the only way that we are going to achieve something is with governmental intervention. I mean, that's the only way we protect our rights in the first place. That's one of the reasons government was created to prepare to
protect, yes,
to establish the rights among men. I mean, that otherwise it is just
it's Lord of the Flies, man. We got to do better. Thanks for the call, Mark. I really appreciate it. I wanted to be sure we just had a moment for these facts. So we began the show by talking about how both of these decisions, Dobbs and then the Harvard and NC decisions today, are both perversions of history and represent tortured logic beyond all recognition. That these represent the cynical conceit of constitutionalism, or what I also like to call the tautology of textualism, that everything has to be defined by what the rights were back then. So I just thought we could take a moment and observe who decided whose rights were what. There have been 116 Supreme Court justices in our nation's history. Four of them have been not white people. Six of them have been women. That's 3.4% and 5.2%. We've had a big zip in 0% LGBTQIA Supreme Court justices. So yeah, Those that make the rules get the gold, don't they? I'm Maggie Dawn. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for keeping it locked in. I'll be back with you after the 4th. Everybody stay safe out there.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.